Welcome to A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk with Reverend Jennifer Hadley. Get ready to focus on your intent to be the love, be the peace through practical application. Here is your host, Reverend Jennifer Hadley.
Bonjour. Bonjour. Here we go again. So glad we can join together for our healing and transformation, for our resurrection. Yes, we are standing in our holiness together. I love it. So let's begin with a prayer. I'm Jennifer Hadley, and I love to pray. Oh, my goodness. We place our hand on our heart. We are grateful and thankful to partner up with that higher Holy Spirit self. We are grateful and thankful to let go of the past, to stand in the light of love together right here, right now. We are grateful to give up our grievances, our attachments, everything that has ever caused pain and suffering to us. We are surrendering it to the Holy Spirit for healing, for transformation, for discovering a new perspective. Pain is a wrong perspective, and we are willing to trade our painful perspective for our clear awareness of our holiness. We are grateful to come together for this purpose, transcending time and space, to remember and recognize that love is all that we are. We are putting God first in everything. We're grateful and thankful that we can. We're grateful and thankful to recover our right mind. We share the benefits with our brothers and sisters because we're united with them in this journey, all for one and one for all. In gratitude, we allow the healing to be, and so it is. Amen. 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 Yes, indeed. We are embarking on this journey of wholeness and holiness. And what A Course in Miracles tells us first and foremost, forgiveness. It's our function. Forgiveness brings miracles. And in order for us to experience miracles, we must choose forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Basically, forgiveness is necessary when we've looked at something and we've judged it. We've looked at something and we have interpreted it and given it a negative meaning. It's something that we have decided it's not good, or even that it's extra good or better than or less than. These judgments are what we are letting go of when we choose forgiveness. We're letting go of the meaning we made of things. We're letting go of that painful perspective, and we're allowing ourselves to move into neutrality. So A Course in Miracles teaches us that everything in this world is neutral, and that we've given everything in this world all the meaning that it has for us. And if we're not finding peace and joy and freedom, wholeness and harmony, abundance and prosperity, beauty and wisdom, clarity, freedom, all these spiritual qualities flowing in our heart, in our mind, in our life, in our conversations and relationships, in our experiences, it's because we are holding something against someone, whether it's ourselves, someone else, or even God. And that something that we're holding against some other aspect of life can be released, even if we don't know what it is, even if we don't know where it came from or what the thought is. The Holy Spirit knows the thought. That Holy Spirit, that higher Holy Spirit self, the mighty I Am presence, the infinite field of love, knows precisely what is the thought that is causing the unforgiveness. And that whatever that unforgiveness is causing the disruption in the flow of love, of joy, of peace, of harmony, of freedom in our awareness. And if it's not flowing in our awareness, we're not going to experience it in our mind, in our heart, in our body, in our relationships, in our finances, in our creativity, or in all areas of our life. Not complicated, pretty succinct right there. Now, in chapter 9, there's a section 4 entitled The Holy Spirit's Plan of Forgiveness. And in paragraph 6, Jesus says, follow the Holy Spirit's teaching in forgiveness. Then, because forgiveness is the Holy Spirit's function, and the Holy Spirit knows how to fulfill it perfectly. Just follow the Holy Spirit's teaching in forgiveness. Give it all to the Holy Spirit. I talk with person after person who will talking about this. Some people, they say, I gave it to the Holy Spirit and it was amazing. It was transformed. I had a realization. It was a miracle. The person called me. I couldn't believe it. And it gave me a chance to say, I'm sorry that happened. Whatever the miracle looks like in the world of form, it starts in our mind. That's the real miracle, is in our change of thinking. And the Holy Spirit knows precisely how to go into our consciousness with laser-like precision and bring forth the perfect healing if we will allow it. Ask and it is given. Ask to be restored to unity consciousness and it is given. Ask to have a holy relationship and it is given. Ask to know that our true identity is wholeness, is prosperity, is beauty, is freedom, and it is given. But many times when I ask somebody who's having the opposite experience, they're feeling like it's never going to heal, it's never going to happen, I say, okay, so you woke up today, and did you turn your mind over to the Holy Spirit? Did you say, you decide for me? No, I did not. So when you started to feel the fear, the suffering, the pain, the anger, the hurt, did you turn it over to the Holy Spirit? No, I did not. So what did you do? Well, I was searching the internet to figure out what to do about this situation. Mm-hmm. Well, and that didn't work for you. No, it did not work for you. And then when that didn't work for you, did you go to the Holy Spirit then? No, I did not. You see how it's true for all of us. Same for me, believe me. Used to do this. This is how I used to live. Because we feel separate from God, we think we have to figure everything out on our own. And then we move into despair because we can't figure it out on our own. And we're exhausted from trying. It's so labor intensive. I'm always amazed that my Finding Freedom boot camp doesn't have thousands of people in it, hundreds of people in it, but it's very few people at a time are willing to do this kind of work because they just are in this mindset of, I'm not good enough, something's wrong with me, I have to go it alone. And honestly, what I see is people are so attached to that false identity that's been created or made about themselves. They don't believe anything will work for them, so they don't bother to try. And it's a small number of people who are willing to try. They're willing to really go for it. And I have to say, I have yet to see someone who was determined to see, that did this work with me, because I can only speak to the folks who've talked with me about it. Anyone who's ever given it a real go, they've succeeded because spirit does not fail. And the only way I know to succeed is to put spirit in charge. The paragraph before the one I shared, forgiveness, so this is paragraph 5, section 4, chapter 9. Forgiveness that is learned of me, of course, Jesus speaking, forgiveness that is learned of me does not use fear to undo fear. So he's not going to frighten us to make us undo our fear. We have free will choice. We can decide to learn through pain or joy. He says, nor does it make real the unreal and then destroy it. Forgiveness through the Holy Spirit lies simply in looking beyond error from the beginning and thus keeping it unreal for you. So working with the Holy Spirit, we can learn, we can discover how to see beyond all the errors we've ever made. Because all the errors we've ever made are in the mind. They're not in the world, they're in the mind. And we can see beyond error from the beginning of our human experience. And so we can see that all of it is not real. It's part of an illusion. And what is real is our true identity. Perfect, whole, complete, beautiful, magnificent, harmonious, perfect, perfect love. He says, do not let any belief in its realness, the false identity, the error, do not let any belief in its realness enter your mind, or you will also believe that you must undo what you have made in order to be forgiven. So this is the thing where a lot of people get caught. They think they have to somehow make amends for things, that they have to somehow undo the error. But the error's in the mind. And so giving it to the Holy Spirit is the way to undo it. And giving up our judgments, our opinions, our beliefs about it, being willing to let them dissolve and resolve permanently back to the root cause, that is the way. He says, what has no effect does not exist, and to the Holy Spirit, the effects of error are non-existent. Are we willing to see that while all of our relationships with each other, that's real. Love is real. But all the errors in our mind about how bad this one is or how this one's better than that one, all of that is not real. It's not permanent. It does not exist. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. He says, by steadily and consistently canceling out all its effects everywhere and in all respects, the Holy Spirit teaches that the ego does not exist and proves it. Follow the Holy Spirit's teaching in forgiveness then, because forgiveness is his function and he knows how to fulfill it perfectly. This is what I meant when I said that miracles are natural. And when they do not occur, something has gone wrong. Now, what I can tell you is that I really began to practice this. And it blew my mind that the Holy Spirit really could remove from my awareness all of the effects of my false beliefs. Because the effects were the pain and suffering in my mind, in my heart, in my relationships. But I had to be willing to give up my judgments, my opinions, my complaints, all of it. You know, so many times in recent years, I've looked at something and I say, yeah, I don't like this. And then my mind says, but if everything is perfect, just as it is, everything is in divine order, just as it is, based on every choice that I've made up until this minute, this thing that's happening right now that I don't like is a perfect opportunity for me in some way. I don't like it, but let me not turn away from my good. So even if the experience is I'm in excruciating pain because my back has been injured, I can say to myself, I don't like it, but it's for my good. I will accept my good. I will receive my good with gratitude. I can learn to be glad even though this sucks and I do not like it. And so I started to say, what's not to like? And sometimes something will go really sideways, not a way that I would like it to go. And I'll be with folks maybe who don't know me well somewhere, I don't know. And I'll say, well, what's not to like? And they look at me like I'm crazy. What's not to like? Your car just broke down. What do you mean, what's not to like? But that's what I say to myself, what's not to like? And I know it's different if your dog was just run over in the street. That I understand. There's a lot not to like about that. But if everything works together for a good, let me receive my blessing. Let me know that there's a blessing encoded into everything. And so this leads me to one of the great learnings of my life is that I had to forgive myself, and I still do sometimes. I have to forgive myself for making negative meaning of things. I have to forgive myself for thinking this is not good. I have to forgive myself for my judgments and my complaints and anything else that disturbs my peace that I have been blaming something or someone else for. I think one of the most challenging things for us to really get is that we're never upset for the reason we think. We're always upset because of our interpretation and the meaning we make of things. And that if we blame that upset on someone else, on something else, something in the world, we're actually avoiding the healing opportunity that Holy Spirit is presenting to us. That pain point is an opportunity to have a healing. It's not happening to us. Our choices have generated it. Our choices in the way we're looking at things and the way that we're choosing to live our life is bringing us this experience. We don't get what we want. We get what we choose. And we may have made these choices before we incarnated. That's why they're in our script. So without trust, we are lost in a swamp. And it's no fun at all. But incredible transformation can happen if we're willing to go from, why is this happening to me? To, I wonder why this is happening in my experience. Huh. What was I thinking when I put this in my script? You know, and sometimes we say it like this. Mother, Father, God, what was I thinking? Oh, my God. I am not liking this right now. Holy Spirit, help me now. Help me, help me, help me. And I will say, as we're talking about forgiveness here, I have a free forgiveness workshop. It's called How to Get Over It. It's on the homepage at jenniferhadley.com. And if you'd like to have it delivered to you, you can text the word forgiveness to 53557. Text the word forgiveness to 53557. And while we're on this topic, if you'd like help with this, you can join my Sacred Circle. It's my weekly spiritual counseling program that you can subscribe to. It's a monthly subscription. It's $55 a month. But if you, because you listen to the podcast, you get a special discount. It's almost half off. It's $33 a month. And you just, when you register, use this code 33SC. 33SC. And then you could just join for 1 month. Come each week and ask me any question you like. It's, you can get some spiritual counseling. So try for a month, try for a couple months, whatever you like. But that, this is another opportunity for you. And if you would like to find my Sacred Circle, just go to jenniferhadley.com. Look on the events page at jenniferhadley.com. Of course, you can always text the word events to 53557. So text forgiveness to 53557. Or text the word events to 53557, and you'll either way you'll be able to get my How to Get Over It free forgiveness workshop and many other things. But do remember that discount code for my Sacred Circle to get it for $33 a month, 33SC, when you register. Forgiveness is what brings us miracles. So forgiveness is being willing to release the meaning we made of it and our interpretations. Now, many, many times, people are always thinking in terms of forgiving others. If I could forgive that other person, then I could just stop thinking about this. I'm so tired of thinking about this, how they ripped me off, how they hurt my feelings, how they whatever. Well, you think that forgiving that other person is what's going to stop that constant thinking about that situation and your annoyance with it, your frustration with it, your guilt over it, your shame, your hurt, whatever might you might be feeling about it. You think that forgiving the other person is the thing that is going to set you free. But it's just not. It's not. Because they didn't make you interpret it the way you did. And so think about this, because I've worked with so many people on this. Think about this. If you are deeply hurt because someone betrayed you, and you, as many people have told me, I've forgiven them so many times, but I just can't seem to get over it. That's why I made my free workshop, How to Get Over It. That's why it's called How to Get Over It. Because I've counseled so many people who have said, I just can't seem to get over it. No matter how many times I forgive them, I just can't seem to get over it. I can't get over what they did to me. The problem is not what they did to you or what they did to us. That is not the splinter in the mind now. The splinter in the mind now is the meaning that we made of it and how it corresponds to our self-image. I know this sounds crazy. It does. But if we deep down believe that there's something wrong with us, that we're not good enough, that we're bad, that we're unlovable, and somebody does something to betray us, something offensive, hurtful, then we're going to interpret what they do as proof that we're unlovable, as proof that we're bad, as proof that there's something wrong with us. That's why these things keep happening. That's the interpretation we're going to make. That's the meaning we're going to make. But it has nothing to do with the other person. We're the ones who are giving that experience all the meaning that it has for us. And this is why we must forgive ourselves in order to set ourselves free. This is the whole purpose of my Finding Freedom Bootcamp, of my year-long Masterful Living course, of everything I do. Because what I find again and again and again and again is that people don't do the work, left to their own devices. They just don't. They will do so much if they're in a group, they're being lovingly supported. It just changes everything. Make a commitment to do the work. Really, really do it. Changes everything. Well, it's time for me to take a break. I'm Jennifer Hadley, and you are listening to A Course in Miracles on Unity Online Radio. We're walking the talk. We're living the love, and I will be right back.
Thank you for tuning in for A Course in Miracles, living the love, walking the talk.
And we're back. Thank you for coming back. Talking about how people resist doing the real forgiveness work, and the most challenging forgiveness work of all is the self-forgiveness work. So let me tell you a little bit about my experience with doing this self-forgiveness work and miraculous healing. So as I've shared over the years, nearly 10 years of doing this podcast every week, when I was my teens and my 20s and my 30s, and well into my 40s, I was often falling down into a pit of anger, resentment, hurt, fear, blame, shame, regret, guilt, all of that. Regularly falling deep into that pit. And I had a very strong false belief. It was my overriding belief in every moment, in every conversation, in every relationship, in everything, was that I was fundamentally bad. Something was really wrong with me. I didn't know what it was, but it was obvious to me and to everyone else that something was freakishly wrong with me that could not be fixed, and it couldn't be glossed over. I felt irredeemable, completely unlovable. I really did. And I thought that the only hope I had in all of my relationships, in all my experience of life, for every day of my life, the only hope I had was to try and somehow somewhat redeem myself by doing good. In other words, giving in order to get. If I do these things, people will like me. If I accomplish these things, people will respect me. So I really, truly did not believe that unconditional love was a possibility for me. Even though I witnessed that my parents definitely loved me, my grandparents definitely loved me, and they knew what a tornado I could be, because believe me, I had many times when I just completely wrecked Thanksgiving, completely wrecked Christmas because I threw a hissy fit, because I got so angry and I would be destructive. And on, left on my own, I could easily fall into self-destructive behavior. And sometimes in my relationships, I would really have this mindset, let me just burn everything to the ground. Let me just trash this relationship. Let me pollute it so badly that I don't have to go back there ever again and try to work it out or figure it out. Because basically, I would get triggered into this reminder, something's really wrong with me. I'm fundamentally unlovable. There's nothing I can do about it. And that hopelessness would just be crushing, so painful that I would have to collapse into some kind of self-medication to run away from it. Self-medicating, alcohol, cigarettes, food, television, exercising, working, whatever. Talking on the phone. Oh my gosh. Going over and over and over again, the pain points. Call the next friend, tell the whole story to them, and then the next friend, and tell the whole story to them, until I was exhausted. Until I'd pass out, really, from the effort of trying to bury my feelings. Or to somehow justify my upset or justify my bad behavior. So intense. Many, 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 many years of my life where that's where my energy went. Most of my energy went into that kind of stuff. Managing, coping, settling. And so finding the way out of that could only come through miracles. It could only come through forgiving myself for investing what many would say was the best years of my life. I don't say that because, first of all, the best years of my life are today. Because that's all I ever have is today. And this is the best of my life. And there's no question that there's no day before this day that was better than today. Even my happiest days in my past were not better than today, because today I feel more free, more aligned with spirit than any day before. So this is the best time in my life. So I don't feel I've wasted the past. I don't feel I've wasted the past because I've harvested the learning through it, through my self-forgiveness. Self-forgiveness has enabled me to harvest the learning through my experiences, from my experiences. Because, and I cannot make this point enough, as long as we don't forgive, as long as we judge, then we are saying there was no benefit to that experience. There is nothing to learn from that experience. It was just wasted. I remember one time somebody in a class, it was just beginning a class, said, I've just realized I've wasted my whole life, so much of my life. And I just am devastated to have this realization. And I said, that is total BS. Because there's so much learning to harvest from everything you've ever been through. We're eternal beings. We're not limited to this one life. We're eternal. We're infinite. So we have chosen, more often than not, to learn through experience. Now you're realizing, oh, I can learn through direct insight. I can learn through direct knowing. Whatever it took you to get to this point was what it took. Was it a waste? No, you're at this point. You got here. Why would you claim the past is a waste? It got you here. You could have gotten here sooner, So what? There's a benefit. Spirit will show you the benefit of every choice that you've ever made if you're willing. Everything works together for good, and there are no exceptions. Let's stop making exceptions. Yeah, we don't like it, but it's still working together for our good. Still, even this, even the cancer, even the COVID, everything is working together for our good. We are eternal beings having an eternal experience in the mind. Let us not judge anything as being wasted. It's not helpful. We have to forgive ourselves for blaming ourselves in order to harvest the wisdom. It's what's required. I didn't make the rules. It's a good thing I didn't make the rules. This is what's required. And so we need to have the humility to be a follower of the Holy Spirit in order to set ourselves free. Liberation is worth it. I often say that what makes me a good leader is I'm actually a follower. It's extraordinary how much easier life gets when we stop trying to figure it out and we let Spirit lead us, guide us, and direct us. But people are afraid they cannot tell the difference between ego and Spirit in terms of direction. Is that ego telling me to do that? Is that Spirit telling me to do that? All that it takes in order to tell the difference is the willingness to know the difference. The willingness to turn away from the ego and follow the Spirit. So there are times when each one of us is aware this is ego. And as Ken Wapnick told me in the I think it was the second episode of this podcast. I asked him a question and he said, he quotes to himself from King Lear, "That way madness lies." So following the ego, that way madness lies. We've been down that road. We've experienced the madness. Why choose it again? Why choose it again? What more are you going to learn? Oh, choose it one more time. Okay, sure, you can do that. And eventually, we get tired of choosing madness. Eventually. So, it's like with an alcoholic who's drinking, eventually, they're either going to kill themselves through alcohol, or they're going to say, you know what, I've had enough. One choice or the other. And if they don't decide in this lifetime, I've had enough, maybe in the next lifetime. It's all right. We're all on track to get there. And where are we going? We're going to the place where we remember our true self. Now, in this section I've been talking about here, in the course, the section, the Holy Spirit's plan of forgiveness. In here, it says, in paragraph 6, follow the Holy Spirit's teaching in forgiveness then, because forgiveness is the Holy Spirit's function, and the Holy Spirit knows how to fulfill it perfectly. This is what I meant when I said that miracles are natural, and when they do not occur, something has gone wrong. Miracles are merely the sign of your willingness to follow the Holy Spirit's plan of salvation, recognizing that you do not understand what it is. So we don't understand the Holy Spirit's plan of salvation, but we can still go along with it. The Holy Spirit's work is not your function. And unless you accept this, you cannot learn what your function is. So, let us just say to the Holy Spirit, I'm ready to fulfill my function. I'm ready. Please show me how. Let's do this. I'm so ready to do this. Let me be a blessing in this world. Let my mind be a blessing in this world. Let my life be a blessing in this world. Let every choice that I make be a blessing in this world. Holy Spirit, Jesus, angels, show me this day and every day how to dedicate myself to being the blessing. I would like to bless the world with my holiness. Show me how. Show me how to unleash my holiness on this world and be the blessing. We are here only to be truly helpful and to bless the world with our helpfulness. The greatest thing we can do to be helpful is to see things correctly, which we cannot do when we are holding on to regrets and resentments. The only cure for regrets and resentments is to see things correctly, which we can do when we forgive. Forgiveness means letting go of the meaning we made of things so that we can see things correctly. It's not complicated. It's not complicated, but it feels hard because we do not wish to give up the meaning we've made of things. We like to feel that we're upset for the reasons we think we're upset, but it's all smoke and mirrors. If we can realize that the reason we're upset is because we're misinterpreting things, because we're looking at it through the lens of our past decisions about ourselves, about life, about work, about love, about God, about everything. And those decisions that we made in past lives, past experience, past, they're coloring our ability to see things clearly now. So simple. In this section, Jesus says to us that we must accept that the Holy Spirit's function is teaching, forgiveness, helping us do this. And he knows how to fill it perfectly, or it, that higher Holy Spirit self, knows how to fulfill it perfectly. Our function is to let go of the meaning we made of the past so we can be truly helpful. Now, in paragraph 7, Jesus says, the confusion of functions is so typical of the ego that you should be quite familiar with it by now. The ego believes that all functions belong to it, even though it has no idea of what they are. This is more than mere confusion. It is a particularly dangerous combination of grandiosity and confusion that makes the ego likely to attack anyone and anything for no reason at all, including ourselves. He says, this is exactly what the ego does. It is unpredictable in its responses because it has no idea what it perceives. He goes on to say, if you have no idea what is happening, how appropriately can you expect to react? Right? This is why we find ourselves getting triggered, and it's so painful and weird and freaky and disappointing and confusing and scary. He says, you might ask yourself, regardless of how you may account for the reaction, whether its unpredictability places the ego in a sound position as your guide. This is just the most practical advice. So what he's saying here is, you feel you're being guided by the ego to react, to make decisions. You're trying to rationally think things through and make decisions. But the ego reactions are often completely unpredictable. Think of when you get triggered and you feel like you're just nuts. That's because the ego is being the guide. So if you think of the times when you've had freakouts and meltdowns, ego was in charge, and you didn't think to say, okay, this is ego. I'm putting the Holy Spirit in charge right now. In the middle of the freakout, in the middle of the meltdown, call for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, this is insanity. I will not have it. I will not tolerate it. I will not live this way. I am done. I'm done with this insanity of the ego. I am choosing love. Love has already chosen me. I trust love. I am placing my faith and trust in spirit, in love, and I'm not making any more decisions. I'm going to be still. I am going to turn away from the ego, and I am going to simply take some deep breaths here, but I am not going to listen to one more bit of insanity from the ego. Instead, we often go into trying to figure things out, doing research. Well, what do you think I should do? Well, she thought I should do this. No, that is not the way to go. And this is a mind training program. So let us agree to be guided by the one who knows. I like to say the knower who knows. The I Am Presence, the higher Holy Spirit self, that within me, which is the knower who knows. Jesus goes on here, let me repeat that the ego's qualifications as a guide are singularly unfortunate, and that it is a remarkably poor choice as a teacher of salvation. Anyone who elects a totally insane guide must be totally insane himself. Nor is it true that you do not realize the guide is insane. You realize it because I realize it, and you have judged it by the same standard I have. So let's say that a friend comes to you and says, hey, let's go on a trip to the Amazon jungle. I know a guide who knows all about the jungle. What do you say we go? Oh, well, tell me about this guide. I'd like to know about this guide. Well, the guide is kind of crazy. What do you mean, kind of crazy? Well, everybody who goes on the trips with him ends up dead. What? Yeah, but, you know, it could be an amazing trip. But everybody goes on a trip with that guide, ego guide, ends up dead? Well, yeah, yeah. But could be an amazing, no thank you, I think is the appropriate response. No thank you. Bye-bye. Talk to the hand. I am not interested anymore. So, you know how some folks will sit and listen and listen and listen to be polite? Don't do that with the ego. No, there's no good that can come with that. And you know how some people will go along with people even to do things they don't really want to do, and even though they don't like that person's company, because they just feel like, I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to hurt your feelings. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? What makes you think you're going to hurt my feelings? My feelings can only be hurt if I misinterpret things. Be the voice for love and say, you know, I really like you and appreciate you, but I need to go now. So let's talk another time. What do you mean you have to go? I just realized I need to go. We don't have to explain ourselves, and we can do the same with the ego. We don't have to be polite, listening to the ego, following the ego, The ego is not the boss of us unless we'd like it to be. In this section, Jesus makes it clear the second coming is merely the return of sense, and it requires our self-forgiveness. It requires it. So miracle upon miracle, we can live a miracle life, be miracle-minded, but only if we are doing that true self-forgiveness, so that we, when we look at our memories of everything we've ever said or done or any of that, we don't cringe, we don't flinch, we don't go, oh God, I don't want to think about that. We go, yep, that's stuff that happened. I lived, I learned, and I now am choosing joy. I am choosing love. And those choices I made in the past make it so clear how valuable love is. That's how we can live. Yes, forgiveness, self-forgiveness is required in order to be miracle-minded. So let me share just a couple of quick things. I only have a small amount of time left. We've got Parenting with Spirit classes coming up at the end of June. We've got 6 weeks of classes planned. Please check it out. We've got wonderful topics, wonderful teachers who've had miraculous shifts with their children. So please, I encourage you, check it out. If you're a parent, people have been asking me for this for quite some time. And then in July, we're going to do my challenge to end self-sabotage again, but this time we're going to do it over the course of 6 weeks. Instead of 6 days, we're taking 6 weeks. We can go leisurely through it. It is so helpful. And lastly, thank you to all those who donate. You make my day. You really do. And I love you, and I thank God for you. Hand on my heart, hand on your heart. Let us give thanks for the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us all the way. We share the benefits of our healing with our brothers and sisters because we're one with them. We let the healing be and say amen, amen, amen. I love you. Mwah! Have a blessed, blessed week.